Es Kislev Tashin Samach Zayin, Shir number 35, November 29th. Tonight we'll be discussing Baruch Sha'amar in our continuation of the Psukei Dezimra, which can be found in the regular Hebrew English R Scroll Siddur, page 58, and on the blue R Scroll Siddur, page 25. Before we begin, just a little reminder that tefillah, as we mentioned in the past, is an expression of communication with God. And part of the point of tefillah, as we mentioned in the Gemara in Makos, that says that the Navi Habakkuk came and he comprised the 613 commandments, and he said that the foundation of all of them lies on one mitzvah. What's that one mitzvah? That mitzvah is emunah, belief in God. Bo Chabakuk behemidin al achas, Chabakuk came and he established them on one. 613 principles, all the mitzvahs on one. Tzadik be'emunoso yichye. A tzadik, a righteous person, will live with emunah. Emunah is a belief that the person says everything is from God. God knows what he's doing. Bitochen is the situation where a person puts into practice, explains the Chazon Ish. Not just to have the belief in here, but to live it, to actually live it. So one of the greatest ways to build up our emunah in Hashem is to daven properly. And that's one of the things we're doing here. Just a little reminder of what our goal and our focus is. Not just to have an intellectual conversation, hopefully it's intellectual. On that note, I got a phone call this morning from a good friend of mine, and he told me, Baruch Hashem, thank God everybody's doing okay, but his wife and two daughters were in a massive car accident in Flatbush on Monday, and they were in a trauma unit, and he was telling me the different procedures, how one daughter's had plastic surgery and on her face, and another daughter went through one surgery on her femur. And she's going through another. The doctors are discussing other procedures to do, and how his wife was taken and transferred to another hospital. And I'm talking to him, and the bitachon and emunah that's coming through the phone conversation was just unbelievable. I called him, and he left me a message. He said, you know, maybe give me a call, give me a little chizuk. And I call him to try to strengthen him. And the man is like a rock. The tzoras he has gone through in his life besides this, the tragedies. And upon everything, he accepts everything from Hashem with how Baruch Hashem, everybody is alive. It was just an unbelievable conversation. So tonight's shir and subsequent shiurim should be for Rafur Shalema, for Bracha Ahuva Baschana, Shalemis, Zahava Bas, Bracha Ahuva, and the 5-year-old Hadassah Shayna Bas, Bracha Ahuva. As we mentioned, Baruch Sha'amar is corresponding to the Ulam. In the diagram over here, this is the Ulam right over here. These are the steps that lead. The Ulam is the corridor, the hallway. You can see that? Okay, we enter over here, the Ezes Nashim, then these Ezes Kohanim, there's Mizbeach. As you mentioned, comes Tefillah time, whether we are Kohen Levi Yisrael, we eventually all become Kohanim, because our ultimate goal is right where my finger is, in the Kodesh Kedoshim. And when we daven Shemoneh Esrei, that is where we are supposed to envision ourselves as being. Literally 100% in front of the creator of the universe, the master of everything, God himself. And in order to build ourselves up to that level, we have different levels of the Beis HaMikdash. And it gets holier and holier as we enter. If you want on page 76. In that 76. Yeah. So we are now over here by the Psukei Dezimra, in the Ulam, with the goal to enter the Heichal, with the goal to enter the Kodesh Kodashim. That's what we're holding now. If anybody wants to see that. We'll start with a few halachas. The article did a very nice job for us. We'll just go through them quickly. On page 25 of the blue, Chaim Shlomo Siddur, a few quick halachas over here. We mentioned in the past as well that Baruch Sha'amar is the beginning, is the psicha of the bracha, where it ends where? It ends by Yishtabach. That being the case, a person cannot interrupt with anything in between. It's just like, for example, a person would make a bracha on an apple, and he is not permitted to interrupt, to say hello, to do anything else until he bites and swallows that apple. The truth is important. People don't realize sometimes that it's not the actual biting of the food, but it's the swallowing of the food. It's important to, especially on Shabbos, you know, sometimes we have the delicious challah and we're sitting around the table by the guest or the host, who knows what it might be. And it's delicious. In the meantime, never swallowed it. So over here, we begin the bracha, beginning of the bracha is Baruch Sha'amar. At the end of this tefillah on page 26, line number 1, that's where the bracha actually begins. So it's interesting bracha, Baruch Sha'amar, because most brachas, they begin with the bracha immediately. Here, we have like, if you will, an introduction to the bracha. And then we end with the bracha by Yishtabach on page 41, line number 9. Page 41, line number 9. That is a conclusion of the bracha. That's at the end of Yishtabach, and then Pesukah de Zimra is over. We then continue on page 42 with the brachas of Kriya Shema, which leads up to the Shemoneh Esrei. Is a person allowed to answer Amen to another bracha during the tefillahs of Pesukah de Zimra? So as soon as he would mention the bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem on page 26, line number 1, at that point he's required to finish that bracha and he's not allowed to interrupt for anything because he's right smack in the middle of the bracha, page 26, line number 1. However, when he finishes line number 10 with the last word, Melech Mula Batishbachos, on page 26, line number 10, then if he hears an Amen, if he hears a bracha, he is permitted to answer Amen. Ideally, it's best to say at least the first word of the next bracha, even to start that sentence, the whole sentence. And the reason for that is, once again, is because he just said the beginning bracha of Pesukah de Zimra. So if he would now wait and have an interruption, even if it's for a certain amount of time, wouldn't say anything. He would fall into that what's called spacing out stage. And that would also constitute possibly an interruption. A person would talk before he would continue the Hodol Hashem Kiruv Shmo. That would also constitute an interruption, which would possibly obligate him to return and repeat the bracha again. But once he is already in the middle of Pesukah de Zimra, he is allowed to answer Amen for any bracha. Now, ideally, it's best to answer the Amen after he finishes a certain point. In other words, if he's in the middle of a sentence, if he hears the bracha is being said, it's better to finish that sentence and then, or that paragraph if it can be done, and then say Amen. So that's what we say on page 25 in that box over there, discussing interruptions of Pesukah de Zimra. So Amen after blessings, brachas, and kaddish is permitted. We could also answer Amen to Baruch Hu and to Kedusha, to the Modim Shemoneh Esrei of the Modim de Rabbanan, which can be found on page 58 in the gray box on the left side of the page. That's the Modim de Rabbanan, and we'll be allowed to answer that as well. Another point Allah is if a person hears the shul saying Shema, so at any given time, there's halacha for general practical halacha. If, let's say, someone already davened Maariv tonight, and he's downstairs putting away something, and he hears everybody saying Shema, he should take his hand, cover his eyes, and say Shema with him. And by not doing that, God forbid, a person would show he's not accepting God's sovereignty. He's not accepting God's unity over the whole entire world, over himself. So now when he is covering his eyes and saying Shema with them, he's including himself with everybody else. Even if he already davened Shema. At least say Shema Yisrael, That first phrase, it's even suggested, excuse me, some say to say Baruch Shem, the next sentence afterwards, Baruch Shem Kivam Achlusu Le'olam Vod. Some even go further to say the first sentence of a Hafta, but at least minimally speaking, to say Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem. If a person had to use the facilities in between some point of Baruch She'omar and Yishtabach, he is permitted to say Ashi Yotzar, and he suggests that he should say Ashi Yotzar, the bracha for when using the bathroom, after using the bathroom.
The two art scrolls, the one that's in English and the one that's in Hebrew, vary a little bit in what they say.
So I could give you Rabbi Nassim Shimon's phone number if you like.
So in the all Hebrew, it says that you can say Amen after blessings and in Kaddish. And here it says that you can say Amen after any blessing, semicolon, Kaddish, Baruch Hu, Kedusha. So can you say all of the responses for Kaddish and Kedusha?
Oh, no. I don't think they're varying. I think they're both saying the same thing. I'm glad you brought it up, because a person should not say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo at all, which is sometimes said throughout, sometimes Kaddish or whatever it might be. Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo.
Can you say that in Kaddish?
Not in Kaddish, but let's say after by a bracha. Any bracha person hears.
It brings that out. It brings out.
You saw that.
But it's not clear whether or not you can say all of the responses in Baruch Hu.
Oh, so the difference is, I think they might elaborate on, in fact, the difference is as follows. If a person is at the end, let's say, of a paragraph, he finished saying, Yichvod, the whole entire paragraph, then I believe it's stated that he could say Amen to any bracha at any time. Amen. But if he is in the middle of the paragraph, then the list that we just mentioned of the Amen, the Baruch Hu, the Kedusha, and the Kaddish, that is when he's allowed to say it at any time. I think he says that over here on page 59. I believe that's the halacha. Did you see it? You found it there?
No, I mean, it doesn't say. So it's not clear. So again,
I mean, but that is the din, that if a person finished something, finished the whole entire halukah or a whole ashrei, then he could say Amen to anything.
All right, so let's say that I finished ashrei.
Right, and then you hear...
And now I hear Kaddish. Can I answer everything?
Yeah, yes, yes.
Let's say I hear another minion saying Shemona Asrei and they're Kedusha. Can I answer?
Yes, anything? Yes.
Okay, how about...
But those, even if you weren't finished ashrei, even if you weren't finished ashrei, you'd still be allowed to answer Amen to the proper...
To make all the responses in either Kaddish or Kedusha.
I believe so. Yes. Because Kaddish Kedusha has that holiness to it.
Okay. I mean,
the art scroll says not like that? One of the art scrolls says not like that?
Yeah, it says Amen after blessings and in Kaddish.
Where are you reading now? I haven't. But which
number one.
Okay, Amen after blessing in Kaddish, right?
Right. And then on 59.
Right.
At the bottom of the first paragraph.
Okay. Additionally, is that from where? That point? Why don't you join the congregation in reciting?
It's like the third line, in the middle of the third line.
The following responses, however, from there?
Should be made. Amen after any blessing. Semicolon.
Kaddish, Baruch Hu, Kedusha.
Meaning, so if you have the semicolon there, I think it means you can respond to everything in Kaddish, Baruch Hu.
Right. So I don't see the contradiction. He says number one, Amen, in the blue sitter, Amen after blessings and in Kaddish.
So does that in the blue sitter number one, does that mean, for example, that you can't say Yeheshme Rabba?
Oh no. Yeheshme Rabba is definitely permitted.
Okay.
Yeah, that's definitely permitted. That's one of the big ones that we discussed. That's a big one.
Okay, and you can say Baruch Hu.
Sure. That's what you're saying. That's number two. Baruch Hu to Baruch Hashem.
No, to it in Kaddish, Baruch Hu.
Oh, see, no. So that's not Amen. That I don't believe you should say. That's what I meant by Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemoy. I don't believe you should say that. That's not amen. And it's not a kedusha order.
There, right?
Well, if I think some sfaradim maybe, right? If the minig is to say amen, so it's amen. But it could be a certain places, you know, it's not. The point is, the list on page 25 of the Baruch Hu Kedusha, the Modin Derabbanan, those have the power to be said. They're so important, they should be said at any time in the Baruch Hu, during the Pesukah de Zimra. The other brachas, it's brought down, I don't see it right here, but I believe it's brought down, that it's best to come to an ending point. I have it written right over here. Come to an end of a paragraph and say the other one's dead. Let's say you're in the middle of Pesukah de Zimra, you hear your neighbor next to you putting his talis. You hear the bracha. Should you say amen now? The answer is yes. If you see you're going to be finishing the paragraph, and you could time it properly, so it's best to finish that paragraph. Right? That's the difference between the two of them. Now, what happens if a person comes to shul and he realizes that the time of Kriya Shema is coming very soon, and he won't be there by the time he says the davening with the whole entire shul? Is he allowed to interrupt now in the middle of Pesukah de Zimra? Or what does he do? And the answer is, he should interrupt, he should stop, and he should say, he should accept upon himself to fulfill the mitzvah of Shema, and say it right then and there. As we know, we have to say Shema twice a day, morning and evening, it's time bound, there's times when we have to say it. That's what I like about this. You learn it like a Gemara. It's very good. Seth.
What?
You learn things like a Gemara. It's beautiful. No, because you're looking at it. It's very good. If you have something to add, please let me know. Now, it's an interesting halacha over here. Let's say a person has to stop for emergency. He has to talk. Now, we just discussed he's not allowed to talk. But whatever the case might be, person, think about the best example he might want to. And he has to interrupt himself, he has to talk. Okay, maybe the king of Denmark is here, okay, whatever he might want to be. And he has to say hello to him, okay? So, let's turn the page. That's the only example I could thought of that would obligate the person to. There are real halachas about that. A important king coming in the middle of Shema. We're not holding it now. Let's turn to page 35, line number 22 on the bottom of the page. 35:22. And if a person has he's necessary for him to stop and has to talk, he would say Baruch Hashem li'olam amen v'amen. He would say that. He would say the whole entire tefillah, turning the page to page 36 as well, and say the whole entire Vayivarach David. And stop there. Then he is permitted to talk. What did he just do? He just ended a bracha. The beginning bracha was where? Was by Baruch Shomar. The end bracha was now Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen. So now he's allowed to talk. The problem was, the whole time he wasn't allowed to talk. Why? Because he's in the middle of a bracha. He just ended the bracha. Right? Clear?
Well, I thought it ended it.
It does, but we're talking now. He has an emergency, so he is holding somewhere on page 27. Okay, and he has this emergency. He has to speak to somebody about something. So he says this tefillah. He says page.
He fast forwards.
Doesn't have to say anything in between because he has to talk. It's an emergency. He fast forwards to here. He makes that interruption, that separation, and then when he comes back to the davening, he says this again. He goes back to page 35, line number 22, Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen, until the end of Vayivarach David. So we have Baruch on page 36, line number 7, we have a bracha there. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokei Yisrael Avinu Mi'olam Yad Olam, and then it ends L'chol L'rosh on page line number 12. I'm going too fast, please someone let me know. That being the case, what did he just do? He just opened the bracha once again of Pesukah de Zimra. And he will say everything in its proper order. And then he will end once again with Yishtabach. on page 41.
Hold on.
Okay.
If he was on page 27.
Yeah, just for example.
He had to say something.
Right.
So he comes here, he says this. Then he does his talking.
Yes.
Then he comes here, he says this again.
Because now what does he want? He wants to reactivate his Psukim de Zimra. He wants to get back into it.
Okay, but at 36, he says this again. Then it goes back to page 27.
Yes. Yes. Correct. It continues where he left off. It's like making the new bracha. But it's not a problem over here of saying a bracha for no reason, because this is what the halacha demands of us, tells us what to do. And it's not a common thing. You know, usually we don't have to always pass the chips, right? Okay. Any other questions in regards to the halachas? I think you asked me a few weeks ago. Just to touch on it quickly, because I'd like to get to Baruch Shamar a little. So, if a person comes to shul, and ideally he should be dami Shmona Esrei with the tzibur, with the congregation. Shmona Esrei, obviously we know, begins on page 50. Page 50, line number 1. That's the beginning of the Shmona Esrei. In order to fulfill davening with a minyan, he has to be davening with 10 other people. He has to be one of the 10 people, at least, that are Dami Shmona Esrei. So if he sees that, if he's going to just daven a regular sitter, all the tefillahs across the board, he's not going to be able to do this with them. So what should he do? He should minimally say, Baruch Sha'amar, page 25, and then skip to Ashrei on page 30, line number 12. That was Baruch Sha'amar, first page 25. Then he went to Ashrei on page 30, line number 12. And then he went to Yishtabach. Ashrei, Baruch Sha'amar, excuse me, Baruch Sha'amar, Ashrei, Yishtabach. Question is, he sees he has a few more minutes. So what else can he incorporate in that? Okay. Now, if he's spending too much time calculating all this, I would suggest he just davens regularly, because he's going to miss it all. Okay, so what he would do is, he could also incorporate two halalukos, the third and the fifth. So that's on page 34 is the third one. Page 34, line number 11. That's the third halaluka. And then the fifth halaluka on page 35, number 15. And if he still sees that they're looking for someone to daven to be the chazan, he has more time, he should continue all the way through, from Baruch Hashem until the end. Okay?
And this is so he'll be with the
tzibur. Yes, that
is the goal. For Baruch.
No, for Shmona Esrei. I mean, the goal, once again, is to be davening with everybody at the same time, and that each person is like standing in front of Hashem in the Kodesh Kodashim. We'll get more into this halachas, Mitzvah Hashem, as time will allow later on.
You're saying that saying Pazuki Zimra is more important than Kriya Shema?
What do you mean?
Well, in other words, if I find myself out of time, I should be with the tzibur by Baruchu, so that I can say Shema and then Shemana Esrei with the tzibur.
Shemana Esrei is not so much the point with the tzibur. The point of the tzibur is the Shemana Esrei of the tzibur. It happens, if you will, will work that way, because...
Well, I'm asking, what's more important to say if you're short on time? Pazuki de Zimra or Kriya Shema?
Well, there are parts of Pazuki de Zimra which should not be skipped. Baruch Shomar, Ashrei, Nishtabach should not be skipped. Ideally, that's the minimal that should really be said. And from after Yishtabach, nothing can be skipped over there. We have to go straight from Berachas Krishma until Shmona Esrei. Well, we could say there's two halukas if there's more time. You know, once again, he sees that he has
more
time.
So you have to leave time for Shema.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, that's, I didn't understand before. Yes, 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 yes.
Okay, so.
Yes.
So, Baruch Shemar,
Ashrei, Yishtabach. And then, if there's
more time.
Right.
No. If I'm going to run out of time before Baruch, then I just go to Baruch.
Why when? Without even saying Baruch Shemar, Ashrei, Yishtabach? No, you could say Baruch. You could answer Baruch by yourself, even if you're not up to it yet. And you know, for example, that the Rav of the Shul, he says Shema for 3 minutes, and you, with your Kavana, you still say only in a minute and a half. Nothing wrong with that. It's perfectly fine. So, but you know that by the time you get to Shemona Esrei, you'll be with them. That's fine. You don't have to be with Baruch with them. Just answer Baruch. Right? Understand? Mm-hmm. Okay? You could answer Baruch and you're still on Ashrei. And you know you're going from Ashrei to Yishtabach.
And then straight across.
Yeah. Say everything. Yeah. Right? Okay? Now, obviously, ideally, it should not be done, but this is what should be said. Once again, who established the Baruch Shamar Tefillah? As we mentioned in the past, it was Anshe Knesset Gdoila. Anybody ever get a letter from heaven? Well, they got a letter from heaven. It was addressed to them with 87 words on it. This was their sign that this Baruch Shamar should be the introduction to the beginning of the Pesuk of the Zimra. We actually have the introduction of Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis Tzedavah, which we discussed a couple of weeks ago. Here we actually start the actual Pesuk of the Zimra with this tefillah Baruch Shamar, which is 7 words. If you read that part correctly down there, bottom set, so it brings a pasuk. The pasuk is in Shir HaShirim, and its pasuk says, "Roishoy Kesem Paz." It's referring to his opening words were fine as gold. And if you want to see what that is, that's on page 58 in the bottom over here, the regular article. You can take a look over there. So, yep. Seth, you mind showing me that?
Oh, sorry.
Okay. So, Paz is gold, fine as gold. So we're saying that we're beginning the whole entire Pesuk of the Zimra with Paz, Pei Zayin, 87 words. That's the finest gold. That's how we begin the Pesuk of the Zimra. There are two parts to Baruch Shamar. If you go back now to page 25, we have, interestingly enough, we have the first part which encompasses 10 times we say Baruch. And then we come afterwards, eventually we come to the Bracha itself. On page 26, line number 1. So, the way the Mefarshim explain is that the first part is coming to explain descriptions of God's attributes. And we're not saying His name, His actual name itself, but referring to His attributes, as we'll get to shortly. 10, by the way, is a number of complete perfection. We have 10 fingers, as we discussed in the Brach of Al Tilas Yadayim, that God gave us these fingers to act, to serve Him in a complete fashion. There were, as we mentioned, 10 strings on Dovra Melech's harp. 10 is an expression of complete perfection. Here we begin Pesuk of the Zimra with 10 Baruchs. Complete perfection. The second part, obviously, we see is discussing the Bracha itself. As we know, there are 10 commandments, 10 proclamations, and 10 sedibros, right? From those 10 comes, branches out everything else.
10 is
10 tests, Avraham Avinu, all 10 plagues in Mitzrayim. It's all complete perfection. So we start the tefillah of Pesuk of the Zimra with 10. Many of us know that we hold the tzitzis. Why do we hold the tzitzis? So I have a beautiful explanation for this. You answer this, no?
Yeah, I'm curious.
Okay, this is beautiful. Of course, it comes from Rav Schwab, Hatzal, and Rav Schwab says like this. Now, Rav Schwab says that the custom that they had, and I spoke to Rav Lichtenstein about it, he said that they would look at the tzitzis. I think most have the custom that we hold the tzitzis and afterwards we kiss it, which is brought down many places. So, Rosh Schwab explains that we have on the tzitzis, we have on each, we take the front two, and we have eight strings. It's really four, but it's comes out to eight over here, four and four. We have the front two, that's through some math now. 8 times 2 is 16. Then we have five knots. Five knots is on each side is 10 knots, a total of 10 knots. Which is, my mathematician, 16 and 10?
26.
There we go. Okay, put him on next grade. What does 26 have to do with Baruch Shomar? What did we just say? We have 10 times it says Baruch to discuss what? To discuss a reference to God's name. The Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26. We're coming now to say, thank you. Thank you, Jerry. We're coming now to say Baruch Sha'amar. And when we say Baruch Sha'amar, V'haya Ha'ilam, and he said there should be a world. Sha'amar, he said there should be a world. When God says something, it's done. It's like, you know, we try to think, when we say we'll do it, you know, yeah, my goodness, his word is done. You know, it doesn't always happen. We know we're human and we make mistakes. But when God said it, it's done. There's no process that has to be done to do it. So we're coming to say Baruch Sha'amar, we're told to look at our tzitzis and concentrate on the Yud Kei Vav Kei, on the 26th letter, the numerical value, name of God. And then after we finish saying the Tefillah Baruch Sha'amar, then we kiss the tzitzis to show the love to the tzitzis, the love of the mitzvah. Nice pshat, beautiful pshat from Rosh Hashanah.
So
we look at it first, right?
All right. For Baruch Sha'amar, we hold the tzitzis in our right hand. For Kriya Shema, we hold them in our left hand.
We start off in our left hand, but then we move to the right hand.
You mean because you're holding it in between these two fingers and then you hold the rest of the tzitzis like this?
Well, that's, we start the Shema with the tzitzis in the left hand, but then we bring them to the right hand when we get to say, paragraph on page 47, line number 5 of Vayomer Hashem, right? Yeah. Mm. Page 47, line number 5. I mean, the question is why we start with the left and then we go to the right, which when we get over there, hopefully we'll have an answer. Right, when we start, it's really in our right, but then we put it on the left hand, from left to right hand. Let's go a little further, please. So we just explained why we're holding the tzitzis and we're looking at it. Now, as we said, Baruch Sha'amar, the page 25, line number 1, Baruch Sha'amar v'haya ha'olam. What do these words mean? Blessed is he spoke, God spoke, and the world came into being, Baruch Hu. Baruch, we're not going to go into a lengthy discussion about it, it has many meanings. Rav Avigdor Miller Zatzal says one of the meanings can be, Baruch comes from the word ni, berech. What does a person do with his knees? He bows down. Now, although we don't physically bow down now at Baruch Sha'amar, but mentally, we are bowing down, we are showing humility to God, we are thanking Him for what? He created this world. This world is His. The more we come to appreciate Hashem, the bigger servants and God-fearing people we can be. We come to appreciate His world that He created. So Baruch, the Berech, the Ni, is to come to tell us, we're starting now Psuki de Zimra. Have that humility. Appreciate everything Hashem God gives us. In the whole entire world at large. And our personal aspects as well. That's the emphasis of the Baruch, of the Berech, the Ni. To mentally bow down in gratitude to Hashem. And to come to appreciate His endless wisdom and the power that created this world. Sha'amar v'haya ha'olam. He said, and then it was. Once again, God's word accomplishes, finishes. That's Sha'amar, he says. Right over here. When he says it, it's done. So this is the first definition of the attribute of Hashem. He spoke and the world came into existence. So this Shem Hashem of Yud Kei Vav Kei comes to explain that He is in charge, He makes everything exist. There are those who believe in this concept called a Big Bang. I'll tell you like this, and I know I'm on tape, I'm digital recording, I believe in it also. Every single second, you're like, oh. Every single second, God is continuing that creation.
Do you believe in a Big Bang?
No, it's not him at all. Not at all. What I mean is as follows. I got that expression from a Schwab in the Sefer. He said that God is continuing that Big Bang. Big Bang, what do they believe in? They believe in that God created the world and now He is somewhere else. The first Vahaya Ha'ilam is saying God created the world and is creating the world constantly. The Big Bang is continuing to go. That's what I meant to say. Please don't misquote me on that.
You're the one who's on tape.
Well, if they listen to the whole sentence, they'll see, they'll understand what I meant.
There is a big machlokes about that.
There is.
Followers of Rav Soloveitchik.
It could be for another time, though.
Right. Sorry.
It could be. It could be. Okay, let's try to see a little further. So this is the first attribute of Hashem that He is Yesh. He created Yesh Miayin. He created something from nothing. And that's what the Mechilta says, that Hashem told Moshe Beinu, I am God who created the world. I am God who said the world would stop to create itself, in the sense that what we have today is just a continuation, but God is allowing that continuation to exist constantly. So step one is that there is that God who is allowing everything to constantly exist. We go now to Baruch Ayus Bereishis. He constantly creates. That's the next part of the Baruch Shamar.
Would that mean, when we're saying He constantly creates, meaning constantly creating human life?
That means constantly creating everything. He's the same God who's creating human life, is creating the animals in Africa and creating the crocodiles and the, right? So it's you remind me, I once asked somebody, a Rav, a question. Years ago, I asked him, the person davens Rafaenu, and Shemon Esrei, so how big of a sickness or something should a person daven for? So he said to me, the same God that cures that broken ankle is the same God that cures that little paper cut. Mm-hmm. He says, when you're saying your private tefillah, so you daven to Hashem for everything. We have to realize He does it all. That's a good point you're bringing out here. He's creating. He's the God who's constantly creating the children the that are being born and everything that exists in the world. Once again, this is that strength in the moon, the belief in Hashem. We continue to just one last point on that. As we say in the Tefillas Yotzer Or, right after the Pesuk of the Zimra on page 42, actually, it's really in the Maariv, which we'll say in a few minutes. We have some time. Let's turn to page 112, I think it is. The words we're looking for is that God is mechadesh b'chol yom tamin ma'asev reishis, that God constantly continues that existence of the world. Constantly, it's a constant continuation. It's in the beginning. It's not over there. Yes, in Shachas. Yeah, on page 44. I know what Kukanda said. Okay. You found it there, Seth? I mean, the bracha starts off, Yetzer Vari Choshech, but what
is it you're looking for?
Yeah, right here. Vituba Mecha. The first line number one. It's a little late for me, I'm sorry. Line number one, page 43. Hamer la'aretz la'adam alev barachma v'tuvoy, in his kindness mechadesh, he continues the newness he creates constantly b'chol yom tamid, every single day ma'ase bereishis. That's what we're looking for. It's not a situation where the world was created, but with God's constant active. And once again, we do not believe in that Big Bang theory, but we believe in God constantly creating that world. His hand is here constantly. Baruch Shamar of Ahaya Ha'olam, that we discussed, that he is, the Olam came into existence, and then what does he do after the world came into existence? He's constantly with us. As opposed to those who say, God created the world, and then he stopped taking charge. That's, I believe, the agnostic point of view. Huh. You've heard this before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm sure you've come across people who believe in such a thing.
A lot.
Unfortunately. Baruch Omer V'Oise, God said, and the world was created. Baruch Goyzer Mekayim. What is a Goyzer Mekayim? Goyzer Mekayim, he decrees and he fulfills. Goyzer is Gezer, referring to by the Rishoyim. God fulfills his decree on them for punishment. Many times we look at this world and we say, look at these evil people. 100% he's an evil person. We know the person is an evil person. And we see, look at the world, the life he lives. So how do we understand? His Goyzer, he decrees, and his Mekayim, and he fulfills. So we have to understand, because this world is not the end. There's an Olam Haba, there's a world to come. And just because we see with our human eyes, we see what it looks like, this person is having an enjoyable life, but there's an Olam Haba, there's a world to come. Where is this person's share going to be in the world to come? What's his position? What's his plight going to be like? His Goyzer Mekayim. We strengthen our belief in this Likud, in this point, that Hashem is in charge of the whole entire world. He created the world. The world is continuing to run. And he is Goyzer Mekayim. Then he is Merachim al Haaretz. Then he has mercy. Merachim is from the word Rechem. Rechem is what? Is the uterus. The mother has that baby inside. The mother has that mercy on that child. Here Hashem has that mercy al haaretz. In a general sense, he watches Ashkacha Klalis. He watches over the whole entire world. Then he's Baruch Merachim. He has that mercy on what? Al Habriyos. Specifically, Ashkacha Pratis. That specific watching on every single Nikud, in every single point. First you have Merachim al haaretz, the general watching. We're not going to get into Ashkacha Klalis and Ashkacha Pratis now. That general watching that God is in charge of, and that specific Ashkacha Pratis. But that's what this is referring to.
Hartzbrot translates it as the Griots as creatures and not people.
Okay, the creature, a person, not to lower your status, is a creature also. That's
so
how they...
Are we referring to people?
We're referring to people as well. All, everything. In regards to... He says, I have over here in the Siddur, in the Sefer, Avodish Belev, he says, Kan Kaya B'nei Adam Briyos. Here he calls B'nei Adam, people, Briyos, creations. Mishum Sheh Hashem is Baruch Merachem Aleihem Mishum Shehem Beruav. Because Hashem has mercy on them because they are his creations. And in regards to the fact that if a person, God will create us, he will give us that food, that supply for us to live with. So what does he do? He has mercy on us. He creates the grain. We can eat the bread. He has mercy on us. Baruch Mishalem Sachar Toiv L'Reyov. So once again, this is now the positive side. We had his Goyzer Mekayim. He has the negative that he will fulfill his decree against those who deserve the punishment. He also now will fulfill his reward. Mishalem Sachar Toiv L'Reyov. He will give that reward to who? To those who are fearing him. And once again, we have that situation. We see what appears to be like a world where there are very righteous people, and they don't seem to get the reward that appears that they deserve. So once again, we have to realize, wait till we get to the end of the game. Doesn't matter who is in the lead in the first inning. Three outs. Or first three quarters, whatever season we're in now, right? The question is, when the game's over, who has the most points? At the end of the day, in Olam Haba, he's Mishalim Sachar Toiv L'Riyav. He gives the reward to those who fear him. Baruch Chai La'ad V'Kayim Ha'Netzach. God is Chai La'ad V'Kayim Ha'Netzach. He is everlasting and living. Netzach Netzachim. For all eternity. Netzach has this connotation that he is boundless. He is not tied down to anything. These are, once again, all different references to God's attributes. So, it's a very nice point over here. He is, since by God there's no such thing as time, which we're running out of right now, by Him it's a situation where today and tomorrow and yesterday are all one. So when we say God will repay and give reward to the one who deserves it, it's right then and there. By us, we are time bound, so we don't see it till we get the reward. But God, that reward is as if it's given as well. Baruch Sha'amar, he's Amar, he said it. If he said it, it's going to happen, it's done. And in the real world, in his world, it's there. We just have to wait our time bound situation in our life to get it. Baruch Poyde Matzio. He is poide, it means that a person takes, when he's taken out from the bad situation, with the agreement of that person who put him in that bad situation. The king who jailed somebody, he now lets him go. Matzil is you take him out with a yad chazaka, you take him out of Mitzrayim. Poide refers to tefila, matzil refers to Torah, which we can't get into the proofs now. Baruch Shemoy, blessed is his name. Before the world was created and the creations were here, there was only, this I will have to end. There was the who God created. Now we have this little tiny amount of understanding that Baruch Shemai, blessed is his name, the merciful God, this little connection that we have to Hashem.